For freedom, Christ has set us free. I think a lot of the time the world looks at Christianity in a sort of upside down and inside out way. In fact, sometimes I even believe Christians approach their faith in this same way. See, in this upside down and inside out view, too much focus is placed simply on the do's and don'ts of Christianity. Too much focus is placed on the Christian faith only being about putting difficult limits on people and behavior. And too much focus is placed on Christianity being somber and serious and being all work and having no joy or goodness, meaning in our lives. Well, I can't really blame people if they hold this view, because much emphasis within the church is on the do's and the don'ts of behavior. It all starts with the Ten Commandments, which lists those big don'ts and do's. Do love God, do love your neighbor, do honor your parents. Don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, and so on. Many of our church debates continue along these lines of the do's and don'ts of behavior. It's no wonder that so many people might view Christianity as restrictive. Maybe that's why so many of our pews are empty on Sunday mornings. Not just here, of course, but across America. Today's culture is far more focused on do it if it feels right, or do it if it's true for you mentality. And yet Paul delivers this timeless message to us today. He says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Now, these words were given at a time when the Christian faith was very far from secular thought. And even though 2,000 years have passed, we have similar issues today. There's a wide gulf between general societal thought and some of the teachings of our faith. Many people in our world today hold that their belief in feeding one's own desires and seeking a self-defined justice and encouraging always the most liberality is what freedom is all about. But in fact, I would say that all of these things may only lead us to a cycle of slavery, because they lead to a slavery of individual whim that might change over passages of time, and even slavery to separation over unity as each individual self-defines and self-gratifies their own sense of freedom and justice. But these words of Paul today, you see, they're not just encouraging us about the bounds, but more so about the freedom. And these words can be really hard to relate to if we hold on to that upside down and inside view point that I was speaking of, that many within and without the church hold. So what does Paul really mean when he says, for freedom, Christ has set us free? Even if the rest of his teaching is also a bit confusing. Well, in this section of the letter, he spends a lot of time clarifying the law versus righteousness. He tells the whole law is summed up in one single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love. Another word we don't always understand, especially if we define it through a self-centered sense of freedom and justice. What I think helps us most to get into Paul's mindset and teaching would be a change of our perspective, because that inside out and upside down view looks at everything and everyone through one's own perspective, a self-centered perspective. That's why I'm saying it would really lead to bounds of slavery, because everyone's view and perspective may differ greatly from one another and even change from time to time. But you see, Paul's teaching is encouraging us to plant in a very different perspective, a view that stems from God alone. It's rooted in God's never-changing truth, and it's always accountable to God's definitions of justice and love. For freedom, Christ has set us free. See, Paul's telling us we don't need to remain in a self-absorbed state, feeding our own passions or individual sense of justice. He even lists some things that this type of thinking could lead to, things he calls work of the flesh: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, envy, factions, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. You see, the common factor in these works of the flesh is a self-centered perspective that each one stems from, and each one has to serve to continue to satisfy and to feed. That's why I call them this endless chain of slavery, because none of them ever align with that main commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. See, instead, how we enter true freedom is to enter it through Jesus Christ, because he came. He came to bring true freedom and God's justice to the world. So you see, we have to decide that we live unto ourselves or we live unto Jesus Christ. And living unto ourselves often leads us to those works of the flesh Paul was writing about. But living unto Jesus leads to his righteousness and the fruit of the Spirit. You see, one is active on our part, one is passive on our part. We can bring about the works of the flesh all on our own. That's the very active part. But you see, we can't quite bring about the fruit of the Spirit on our own. That's why I'm saying it's the more passive part. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the gift, the end result, the benefit God blesses us with for making Jesus Christ Lord of our life. You see, this fruit of the Spirit comes when we replace our self-striving and self-serving with striving and serving that is centered on pleasing God first and foremost. And you see, that requires us to take off those self-centered glasses and to put on new ones, ones that were worn by Christ himself. And it may even require us to change and replace our definitions of justice and love and center on God's definition of those. See, the truth is, we can't ever, ever on our own obtain true freedom or true justice in this world, or the ultimate goodness and righteousness that we all seek. Because the truth is that only Jesus is the righteous one. And it's only in him that we find these things. For freedom, Christ has set us free. You see, instead of the law being the final say, with all the do's and the don'ts, grace and mercy have the final say. Instead of focusing on those do's and don'ts, we're encouraged to focus on true love of God and our neighbor. And instead of it always being about about us and what we want or what we can do. It's all about Christ and what he has done. See, Paul tells us that Christianity flips everything from self-righteousness or works of the law to righteousness rooted in Jesus Christ. You see, it's grace upon grace. And that's why we're free. We're free from the works of the law because we're bound to the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. Now, knowing about this and hearing about this might be different than actually living it. Because you see, it's not only our beliefs in our belief system that we turn Christianity upside down and inside out, but even if we get our thoughts straight, we still struggle a lot to live out our faith. In this same teaching, Paul commends to us, live by the Spirit. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh, for these are opposed to each other. See, living in the Spirit once again centers everything in God. This means we have to begin to see other people as God sees them. We need to begin to treat other people as God treats them. And we need to begin to love other people as God loves them. Even ourselves. And this change of perspective leaves absolutely no room for self-centeredness or self-pleasing or self-striving. And you see, if we begin to seek this God-centered life, and he helps us live it, that's when he begins to pour out this fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that fruit is to both enable us to live the God-centered life and also bless us for living in it. Now, Paul writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, there is no law against these things because they are the gift from God. So you see, if you truly want to live a life of freedom, we need to enter the freedom that comes from Christ. See, Christianity is not this one destination we're all after. Rather, it's a way of living, a whole process. In fact, the first Christians were called people of the way. And Jesus, he's the one that came to show us the way, the truth, and the life. Those who follow him, you see, they'll be freed. They'll be free to fully experience what God makes us to be. Because we unyoke ourselves from those strivings for self, which only result in works of the flesh, and instead we yoke ourselves to the striving of Christ, which leads to his righteousness. So again, true freedom is really when we stop being slaves to ourselves and we become slaves and servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray as the psalmist prayed, you will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen.